This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Dave Fallon, along with Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy. Welcome back, Mark.
Hi there, Dave.
And our guest is Providence Business News writer Eli Sherman. He recently wrote a story about diversity in banking. Its title, Despite Diversity Gains, White Men Still Rule Rhode Island Banking. Eli, thanks for joining us.
Good to be here, Dave.
First question, was it hard getting the women you talked to talk on the record about this?
Yeah, I think for a number of people within the business, it was difficult for them to speak candidly on the topic because of a number of reasons. The issue itself is quite sensitive, and then also they may not have wanted to be thought of within their company as speaking out against the company or whatever. I also would say that while people were guarded in their statements, that's indicative of bankers in general.
Now, the numbers tell the story really here, right? I mean, you almost don't need anyone to talk about it because what did you find?
The banking industry in Rhode Island is very much dominated by white men. Women make up a greater percentage of the overall Rhode Island banking industry compared with men. But that number quickly thins out once you move up the ranks. So while they are 66% of the overall workforce
in banking,
which includes Rhode Island banks and the credit unions, they only comprise 35% of senior and C-suite positions. And that number drops tremendously once you get to executive levels.
In Rhode Island, now how many banks and how many credit unions are there?
There are 9 Rhode Island-based banks, and we looked at the top 10 credit unions based on assets.
So of those 19 institutions, there are two women CEOs.
Correct.
Is that right? And so they talked to us. They talked to you for this story. So what did they have to say?
You know, it's interesting. They've made it to the top, so they have a little bit more freedom in what they want to say. You know, Sandy Patty down at Newport, Bank Newport, that is, she says that, you know, that there is a progression happening within the industry in which women are moving up into these top positions, and it's only a matter of time until that happens, because in her thoughts, it takes about 20 years to achieve such a position, and looking back 20 years, the makeup was even more dismal.
And Ellen Ford at People's Credit Union actually started the way a lot of women got into the banking industry, which is as a teller, right?
Yeah, so a number of women, when they first got into the banking industry 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and even today is as a teller position. As the banking industry experiences a reduction in the amount of tellers that they have, we also see that reflected in the overall workforce, as in the last 10 years, there's been a 10% drop in the number of women within the workforce. So it went from 76% in 2005 down to 66% today.
So when you're talking about the management, upper management at banks, is banking any different than the rest of Rhode Island's, the Rhode Island workforce in terms of executive management?
In terms of executive management, I don't have the exact comparable numbers. As far as the breakdown between genders, it is largely reflective. And when you get into the racial breakdown of banking in Rhode Island, it's also largely reflective of the overall workforce. 84% of the banking industry is made up of white financiers. The next largest percentage is 7.4%, with Hispanic followed by black bankers at 4.7%. To compare, 83.1% of the overall Rhode Island labor force is comprised of white workers.
This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. Our guest is Providence Business News writer Eli Sherman. Eli, any reactions from any banking executives other than the people who spoke on the record, like from official banking sources themselves, about what you were looking for?
Yeah, so I spoke with the Rhode Island Bankers Association, which is actually in its 100th year of existence this year. And, you know, in showing them the numbers, they agreed with how they were indicative of the trade. And also the incoming president, actually, of the Rhode Island Bankers Association has put women in banking and racial diversity as something he'd like to focus on in the future.
Is the issue, you know, one of the things, of course, banks are all about making money, right? So is there any sense in the industry that this is having an impact on the bottom line for the institutions, that the fact that they're dominated not just by, you know, white folks, but also by white men, even more so?
In my research, I didn't find any great studies that had been done that suggested that there was a direct correlation between having a diverse makeup of the workforce, having any direct ties to profitability. One thing I did find, though, however, is that institutions, and this isn't only in the banking industry, but those that put a great focus on nurturing diversity in the workplace and make it a real top priority, do well in the long term financially versus those who might say it is a priority, but don't really focus on it much. There seems to be a lot of turbulence in institutions that do it in this manner.
So the head of the banking association says he wants to make it a priority. Do you get a sense that there's any sense of urgency at the institutions themselves on the issue?
Publicly, I would say no. It doesn't seem to be at the top of the list of many of the people that I spoke with. That's not to say that there aren't some internal controls that aren't being talked about. But for the most part, this change will have to happen, if it does happen, within the individual institutions, and that would take leadership from the top.
Okay, on that point, we'll have to wrap it up. Our guest has been Providence Business News writer Eli Sherman. Eli, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks again to Mark Murphy.
Great as always to be here, Dave.
I'm Dave Fallon. This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio, Rhode Island's NPR.
Major funding for The Bottom Line is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward.